But at the end of the race, I went to my parents, you know, my family that was there. I had 7 people. And then comes along Victoria Arlen, and she interviews me, and I basically just take the interview over. She asked me a few questions, and the famous line that I believe got me to where I am today with ESPN is, "I'm not on the sidelines anymore, I'm included, and that's all that matters to me."
Welcome to the Special Olympics Wisconsin podcast, Athlete Voice. We are thrilled this season to be sharing a bunch of information and stories about our Wisconsin delegation heading to USA Games this summer. And to get us going today, Ed, I know you're really excited about our podcast guest today and excited to introduce her to us.
I am, because we used to be in the same local program together, and she's a friend. Even though we don't talk every day, either, I always think about her, wondering how she's doing. I kind of feel like I grew up with her, so I'm honored to interview her. Her name is Dana Schultz. She does track and field. She's the best snowboarder I know.
Dana, we're so happy to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Dana, like Ed said, you have a long history with Special Olympics. Can you kind of tell us how you got started and why you got started?
I was 8 years old. I was Dean Glaze's youngest athlete, and he, along with my parents, discovered that I would really benefit from being in sports. And my mom always says the more people I could meet, the more things I could do, the better my life would be. And it's been great. Special Olympics changed my life when I was 8, and it hasn't stopped.
Dana, I know that it changed your life a lot from the physical athletics side of things, but can you talk a little bit about how it's helped your mental health too?
When I was in elementary, everything was great. You know, I had friends. They talked to me in school, and, you know, invited to birthday parties, and they were invited to mine. And when I got to middle school, that all ended very abruptly. I got made fun of every day. I don't like this word, but I got called retarded on a daily basis, probably 20 times a day. Shoved in lockers. Just a number of things. And my life in school was a living nightmare. And my home life, very fortunately, is amazing. I have amazing parents who told me to basically ignore them, but it's very hard to ignore them. But besides having an amazing home life, when I got to go to a Special Olympics practice, everyone was like me. They were, you know, unique in their own way. Nobody judged each other. Nobody made fun of each other. I mean, we did, but it was jokingly, like, you know, "You missed that turn," or it was very jokingly, but it was good camaraderie through our friends. But I can compete at a level that was acceptable to me and fair to me. I always joke with my coach, Dean Glaze, that it stopped getting fair for track and field in middle school, because I would get put against guys that are 6 feet taller than I am.
And Dana, you're just a peanut, right?
Yeah, their 2 steps are like my 5, but I'd still always get, like, you know, lower than 5th place. So I was pretty proud of that. But Special Olympics saved me mentally. I always say in every one of my speeches or to anyone I talk to, if it wasn't for my parents and Special Olympics, I wouldn't be here today. It went from being bullied every single day by my peers. Then unfortunately, I got bullied every day by my special education teacher. That was awful, as it sounds. Special Olympics taught me to be proud of who I am and to love my disability and to show it off, which I didn't at first. I hid it because I was so ashamed of having it, being different, being not popular, being in not the top sports that you can possibly be in school. So I hid it for a long time, and I don't anymore. Special Olympics has taught me that, in fact, as I always say, it's awesome to be different because you can show the world what you're capable of.
Well, Dana, thank you for being brave and real and vulnerable, because a lot of times that's what it takes for other athletes to hear that message, to know that they're not alone, knowing that this does happen, knowing that mental health is a real thing. And just thanks for being you.
Thank you. And yes, Ed, you and I were on the same team for a while.
It's like a big family, right?
And I remember we were in a church service together right after my dad passed away. Dana held my hand. I was crying. And she goes, Ed, it's going to be okay. I miss you. And she gave me a hug and everything. She sat with my family. And that's what Special Olympics is all about. It's not about just a competition. It's about being there for your friends. It's about being there for your loved ones.
And Dana, you said something before about how you're able to show the world now who you really are. And you literally have shown the world who you are. Can you talk about not only just your competition on the global scale, but also you're a pretty amazing spokesperson on the global scale too. So talk about that a little bit.
So I've been to 2 World Games competing. I was in South Korea in 2013 and then in Austria in 2017. And you know, I will never forget as long as I live, but 2017 was really special to me because I had the time, fastest time, both men, women, skier and snowboarder, and I broke a record. I was the only athlete to get under a minute long for their run. I had 55.40. I noticed that that day. But after I got done with that run, of course, I fell to my butt. You know, I was just in awe because I almost fell halfway through the course, and how I stayed up to this day, I still do not know. But it's all the training that my coaches in my program, you know, had me do throughout that year. But at the end of the race, I went to my parents, you know, my family that was there. I had 7 people. And then comes along Victoria Arlen, and she interviews me, and I basically just take the interview over. She asked me a few questions, and the famous line that I believe got me to where I am today with ESPN is, I'm not on the sidelines anymore. I'm included, and that's all that matters to me. And it's a kind of a funny, ironic story to this. Before, me and another snowboard athlete actually helped Victoria up the hill because she battled with some medical stuff for a long time, and she couldn't make it up the hill. So we said, well, you sit on our snowboard and he'll pull you and I'll push you up. So we did that. And never in a million years I didn't even know who she was. She had her team behind her. And I'm like, well, she's just a reporter, but we'll still help her up. And so we did. And I believe for the 2018 USA Games in Seattle, I got an email from ESPN saying, we would like you to join our team, basically. And I had to show my mom. I'm like, is this real? Am I getting pranked, you know? And so I did, and I went down to Bristol, Connecticut to get trained on how to be proper and what to do and how to dress and the whole 9 yards. And Seattle was my first gig, if you would say. That's kind of what they say. My first broadcasting with ESPN. And I believe it was there when they said, I am the first woman with an intellectual disability to be a major broadcaster in the U.S. And never in a million years did I imagine how many doors ESPN would have opened for me. I have been working with ESPN since 2018. I have been to Seattle, Florida, and Abu Dhabi, Germany, Italy. And I think that's it. But
Italy was most recent, right? We just had that one last year. That's right. And you got to be there when our very own Annie Mulligan was there too. So I mean, you were able to broadcast on the world stage. And when you talk about true inclusivity, that's what ESPN offered is a true voice from the athlete community.
100%. And like, you know, each broadcaster has their own producer, and we'll go over questions to ask, and, you know, and I'll get nervous, of course. I get nervous for everything. You can ask any of my coaches, especially Dean Glaze. But I would go on the interview and I would just come up with these questions. I'd go off of the questions we came up with, but not down to the T. Like, I'd come up with it in a way that the athlete understood, because I could tell if the athlete didn't understand what I was asking or how to ask it in a different question, because that's what I've been shown for a long time. You know, like Dean Glaze or my mom or any of my other coaches will say what a person just said, but in a language that I can understand. And like my producer would just go, well, just Dana just took it away. You know, I don't even have to be here. So, but they were all really impressed, and they became a family for me. And to know that they're a major broadcasting, you know, entity in this world. And to be a little girl from a little town in Neillsville, Wisconsin, in the U.S., and to be incorporated in their opening ceremonies and their interviews is just amazing.
What are you looking forward to the most about not being on the broadcasting side, but actually competing this time and just being in the opening ceremonies and enjoying all the caveats that opening ceremonies and the games have you do?
I am very excited. I've always, you know, I haven't been at a competition more than state games since 2017. I've broadcasted it and watched all the little, you know, they look little to me because I'm way up in a broadcasting booth. But so you know that I'm going to be a part of that is amazing. And I've always loved track and field, but obviously I love snowboarding more. But I'm going to be going to USA Games for track and field, and I can't wait. Number one, because I'll be competing against women. I'm very excited for that. But to know that I'll be representing Wisconsin in track and field is really cool to me, because I've never competed at a USA Games ever. I broadcasted them, but never competed at them. So I'm looking forward to this new experience at 35 years old.
I think you're the first Neillsville athlete for summer games that's ever gone to a USA Games. I don't know that for sure, but I want to think so.
Oh boy. I believe you're right, but I'd have to ask Mr. Glaze on that.
Yeah, we might have to do some coach fact checking there, right, Dana?
Yeah.
And it's so great this year too, because USA Games it takes place in a new state all the time. But this year it's going to be right in our neighbor state. Our friends over in Minnesota are going to be welcoming us. And, you know, that's got to be so great to know that there's going to be so many friends and family from Wisconsin coming to cheer you all on.
Yes, I'm very excited. I actually have a cousin that lives in Bemidji, Minnesota, and I'm hoping him and his wife will come, and my aunt you know, ants can hopefully come. And I now have a fiance.
Congratulations, so, Dana.
Yeah. I'm hoping him and his little boy will come.
What would you tell folks, Dana, about Special Olympics if they really don't know much about it, or maybe they're not sure why they should support Special Olympics or volunteer or make a donation? What would you say to those listeners out there to help them understand the impact that they could make?
I would say, and I've said this in speeches towards the end, basically, that imagine a world without sports. Imagine a world without friends, without competing, without health. That's what people with disabilities had to go through before Special Olympics. Special Olympics gives us the chance to have friends, to have family, to compete at a level that we're comfortable at, to not get mocked, to not get teased, to feel important, because without Special Olympics, a lot of us don't feel that. You know, I've lucky enough found a job that I feel very important in, but in school, I didn't feel that. When I was going through school, a Unified Champion Schools was just starting. I don't even know if they were created yet. And, you know, a lot of kids that don't look like they could have a disability, and then people find out that they have one, they get mocked, they get teased. And to be in Special Olympics is an escape. It was an escape for me, 1,000%. So was my home life. You know, I live on a little hobby farm with my family, my mom and dad, and that was amazing. But I don't know if people realize the supporters for Special Olympics, what they're supporting. They're supporting a movement that we feel normal at, that we feel included, if we feel loved, you know. And a lot of, you know, I wouldn't say a lot, but some athletes don't have a supportive home life, don't have supportive parents. I was blessed with that. And to be able to go to Special Olympics practices, whether they're once a week or once every other week, they get to say, hey, how you doing? And, you know, if they stutter, or if they forget what they're saying or have a hard time explaining, the other athlete knows what they're saying. They know what they're saying 100%. And that, you know, our practices, track practices and snowboard practices, last 2 hours to an hour, we get to feel normal for that 2 hours to an hour. And that's what people are supporting. And someone once asked, I believe on Facebook, what does Special Olympics mean to you? And, you know, people were putting, it means inclusivity. It means awesomeness. It means that I get to feel included, you know. I put one word, and it was everything. Because that's what Special Olympics means to me, everything. And that's what people are supporting. People with disabilities are in a program or in a amazing thing that means everything to them.
Dana, every time you tell your story and you share your thoughts, I dare myself not to get, you know, all misty-eyed, but I can't help it, because you speak with such passion and such truth. And we're so grateful that you're always willing to just share your truth with us.
But Dana's right. It is just a follow up what you said. It's about Special Olympics provides that hope and that light that sometimes people don't always get, because you can go to a practice and whatever bothering you before, it doesn't bother you there because you're not judged. Like, I remember being bullied on the playground when I was little, and people would flip over my chair and they would just laugh at me. So I understand where she's coming from. And then my mom would get all upset and be like, I'm pulling you out of school because I come home crying because things were bad. And I told mom, I need to stick with school because my friends are there. I need to be by my friends. If it wasn't for my friends that I had in Special Olympics and things, I wouldn't have probably stuck through schools. And I think it's important that people need to hear that message, that it's not always peaches and cream, and your Special Olympics family can get you through a lot of things. Dana, do you know what events you'll be in competing in yet? Like, I know you do the 100-meter run, but will you be doing that? Will you be doing that? Or, you know, what's the event thing looks like for you?
I will be doing the 100-meter dash, the long jump, and the 4x1. I'm pretty excited.
I bet you are. Are you, so how does the training going then? What are you doing to get ready?
No, I mean, obviously I snowboard. But I'm very fortunately, it takes an hour and 10 so minutes to get there, but I'm on a cheer team that is full of cheerleaders from UW Stevens Point. And then, I believe there's like 55 of them on our dream team, and or Wisconsin Extreme Dream Team, and we have quite a few dreamers. So I do that every Wednesday, and like Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I run in school because obviously it was too cold and too snowy to run outside. But I'm not going hard right now because, you know, it's in June. So, I mean, I'll go hard, you know, train harder more towards June, but I'm just getting my legs and stamina ready.
Just got to pace yourself, right, Dana?
Yes.
Well, Dana, we are going to be cheering so loudly for you and the rest of our Wisconsin delegation. Like I said, thank you for always being willing to share your truth and being just so open and honest about what you've gone through and how far you've come. We're cheering for you whether you're competing or not, Dana. So thank you so much for being a part of this.
Thank you for having me. When you asked me about like the supporters or kids that are really questioning whether or not to join Special Olympics, you know, there's no words that can push them to do something. But once you join Special Olympics, you're never going to quit. You know, you're never going to say, well, I shouldn't have done that. You know, this is lame, or this is, you know, I shouldn't be in here. When a kid or an adult with special needs or awesome differences joins such a program that highlights them, their lives will be changed from that moment that they said yes to Special Olympics. I know mine did. And whether or not some of their family didn't support that, unfortunately, some of mine didn't. You know, you just got to ignore that. You just got to say, I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to do this because I want to see what it's all about. And in that instant, their lives are going to change forever. I know mine did.
Well, thank you so much, Dana. We are so grateful. And if anyone out there listening would like more information on how they can support this movement that Dana spoke about, or how to support our Team Wisconsin delegates heading to USA Games, you can visit us at SpecialOlympicsWisconsin.org. And we hope you'll keep tuning in this year to hear more and more stories of our USA Games athletes.